Can I invite Luca up? Luca is 12 years old, and he's going to do a Bible reading this morning. And he's very excited about it. Look, yeah, give him a round of applause. Ready? You sure?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's ready.
Mark 2 of 23 to 28. 23. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. 24. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" 25. He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need?" 26. In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And also, he also gave some to his companions. 27. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for men, not men for the Sabbath." 28. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath.
Hey, good job, Luca. Huge round of applause. Alrighty, we're getting Matt up now. All right, I'll just pray for him as he leads us. And hey, God, we thank you for Matt. We thank you that he's up once again speaking with us this morning. I pray that it wouldn't be him speaking this morning, but you. I pray that you would speak through him and help us to connect with what he's saying and take something away with us. And whatever you want us to hear, I pray that we would hear it and take it to heart in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Dan. Awesome. Now, we're continuing a series this morning, and I'm going to jump into what that series is soon. But first, I just want you to indulge me for a second. And I mean, with the rain, there's nothing like closing your eyes. So I'm going to get you to close your eyes. No one touch anyone else. But just close your eyes. We're going to have some sound going across. And journey with me for a bit here. I want you to imagine that you are in a beautiful garden. Waterfalls flowing. A kakadu flies across overhead. And as you stare out at the ocean that is just nearby, is that a dolphin? Now, as you walk through this garden, you see and you feel the leaves and the fresh smell of the grass. In your mind's eye, I want you to imagine that you encounter God. Now, I want you to think, how does God greet you? What is his expression that he wears as he meets you and walks towards you? What is his demeanor? And shifting slightly now, how do you imagine that he sees you? You can open your eyes. I think often what we do, we can hold this perception of a God who is distant, a God who is absent and wouldn't want anything to do with me. Maybe with the pastor, but not with me. A God who, when I do something wrong, he is vengeful, he's angry, he's disappointed, and I can't come to him until I am clean. I'm too sinful, too broken. And if I was to encounter God, he wouldn't welcome me. let alone look lovingly upon me. A. W. Tozer writes this, that what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. In other words, if that doesn't really make sense, he's saying how we see God directly influences how we see ourselves and how we live our lives, how we interact with our Creator God. So if you view God as someone who is constantly disappointed in you, someone who expects more from you, someone you have to strive to achieve his love and his affection, then you will avoid him. Avoid being in his presence, avoid living in his kingdom, avoid his desires for you, because if that's your view of God, then you can't believe that his desires for you could possibly be good. Now close your eyes again. And I want you to consider God in light of these verses. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. He brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure to do it. But God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And now this last one we often apply to ourselves, but we forget their origin is in God. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. What is your image of God now? How do you think he views you in light of these words, his words, written to his people? You can open your eyes. Thanks for doing that. How does God see you? In light of all that Christ has done, how does God see you? How does he welcome you? What is his desire when he walks with you? And I ask this because over the last couple of weeks, we've been exploring this concept, a practice that Jesus did called Sabbath. Sabbath, a day when we return to God, where we put aside all the busyness and distractions and we cultivate an awareness of God's presence in our lives, where we rest and we depend on him. Depending on how you view God will shape how you view Sabbath, how you view its purpose. Over the last couple of weeks, as we've looked at Sabbath as stopping. We've looked at Sabbath as resting. And I've chatted to people and I've heard some of the reflections around Sabbath. And I've become aware of several things. Firstly, for many, historically, the Sabbath practice is wrapped up in a practice where out of fear, you couldn't play with your neighbors or do things that brought joy and delight. It was a day of legalistic structures with no substantiated basis or rationale. I read this interesting article that describes some of the confusion and anxiety that would have been brought about through Sabbath here in New Zealand, even all the way up to the 90s. And it says this, during the years Sunday trading was restricted, there were many inconsistencies. You could buy toothpaste, but not shampoo. Sugar could be bought in 1-pound bags while sale of 3-pound bags was illegal, and yet it was perfectly legal to buy 3 1-pound bags. You were allowed to buy chocolates, milk, bread, eggs, and butter and petrol, but it was illegal for someone to sell you a goldfish. For attempting as much in 1974, Wayne Plank's tropical fish shop was fined $50 30 times. There's a real legalistic framework that people were forced into that skews For many of our congregation, their vision and understanding, I think, of the invitation of Sabbath. But even now, for those who didn't live through that time, I talk to people where we are, so many of us are kind of this type A, we want to tick off a list, and we're concerned that we might do Sabbath wrong, that we might not achieve what Sabbath is. And when we view Sabbath in that way, it ceases to be something where rest and worship is found, and it becomes something of burden and guilt. Luca read to us at the start, Mark 2, 23 to 28. And what does Jesus reveal is the purpose of Sabbath, the intent of Sabbath? He read the Sabbath, these are the words of Jesus. He read that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. It is a gift to us from God to draw us back to him, the giver of life, the sustainer, the one who wants to refresh and replenish, the one who wants you to know the verses that we read before and how he sees you, speaks over you, and calls you his own. And what authority does Jesus claim this? He is the Lord of the Sabbath. Let that sink in. His words, that this is a gift for you, he says with the authority as the one who rules the Sabbath. Which is why this morning I want to talk about three things. And the first one of that is Sabbath as delight. We've read several times Genesis 2 and where the creation story ends like this. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy. Because on it, he rested, he Sabbathed, from all the work of creating that he had done. I was reading through this one rabbi, not Rabbi John Mark Comer, but John Mark Comer also says this, and I just wanted to double check John Mark. I mean, he's right about most things, but not everything. And so I was reading some rabbinical literature, and one rabbi actually retranslates it to be that in place of the word rested, Shabbat in Hebrew, where it literally means to stop or to rest, He changes the word to delight. It has this concept. And so God delighted on the seventh day in all his work that he had done. Because on it, God delighted in all his work that he had done in creation. And this is backed up in Isaiah 58, where Israel are told that if they act upon Sabbath, if they live into it, embrace the Sabbath, they will call it a delight. A day when you delight in the Lord, a day when you delight in his good gifts, a day when you delight in being you. You see, I think something that we forget is that Sabbath is about stopping. It's about resting. But more than that, it is about delighting. It's about removing and lightening our load, our burdens. If in the past, I think I have used this, where I talk about carving out time for Sabbath. And I'm sorry if I did that, because I think what carving does, it means that it's something we have to physically put in effort to make the space. It's something on top of what we already do. But the idea is that we don't add to our busy schedules, but that we remove. Let me illustrate, and I need some kids for this example. We're going to do a bit of tug of war. So kids, how much do I back myself here? 10 of you? I need, yeah, come on. Oh, Jonathan, oh no. Maybe just Jonathan. All right. Oh, Bench. Okay. All right. So yeah, grab some of the rope. Grab some of the rope. I'll try not to hurt you. All right, maybe keep, that's it. Okay, oh dear. All right, hang on, don't start pulling yet. Okay, Jeremy! I did say kids, I did say. All right, okay. So let's imagine this as life, okay? All right, okay. All right, am I ready? Okay, are you guys ready? Can you be less angry? Okay. So, but what I'm going to do, I want you, when I say now, I want one person to jump off, okay? All right, so, and just slowly letting go. Okay, so often life is like this, okay? So, we're pulling. Oh, boy. Okay. Oh, yeah, no, we're good. We're good. Oh, no, we're not. So life is, you think you're good, but you're losing. And then we're invited into Sabbath. Now? Keep pulling, but drop. Yeah, keep going. All right, now. Keep going. We Sabbath now. Benj, now. Now. Who's taught these kids English? Letting go. Please. I think it's my choice. No, it's not. All right. See, and then it starts to get easier. But then the problem with Sabbath is that we then go, I need to wake up at this time. All right. So, okay, kids, you can start jumping back on. All right. You can start jumping back. Oh, dear. You can jump back on. Everyone can jump back on. Yeah, and so we say, I need to wake up at this time. I need to pray. I need to read the Bible. I need to do this. And then you start losing again. And it gets harder and harder. Okay, I don't want you falling through the door. All right, stop. You're on your own. All right. Well done, kids. Good listening. So if Sabbath was this... Oh, man, I'm puffed now. If Sabbath is a day of resting, of stopping, it's not about recreating Sabbath according to our own insecurities, loading more on, another goal to achieve, another pinnacle to reach. It's not the be-all and end-all. It is a tool. It's a practice that leads us into rest. Still puffed. Sabbath is about stepping back into the garden. Or as Marcus said last week, it's about practicing the gospel. Jesus, who frees us from expectations, from needing to work, from needing to earn, from needing to prove our worth. And as we embrace this reality that in Christ we can stop achieving, stop proving, stop pushing, we can delight. Delight in the one who we read delights in you. Sabbath is where, as we live out 6 days in a world that so often doesn't reflect the kingdom of God, Sabbath guards 1 day a week where we get to practice what it means to live in the kingdom of God. It is a signpost to the future garden city, the new creation where we will rest, we will worship God, a God who loves you, delights in you, and we will love and delight in him. That is Sabbath. I think many of us have to learn how to enjoy God. Believe in him, yes. Learn from him, yes. Fear him, often. Obey him, even. But what does it look like to delight in him? One author writes this. I think, maybe the next one, yeah. Sabbath is an opportunity, 1 day a week, to redefine your false perception of God. Which leads me to Sabbath as true delight. In Genesis 2, we see how God weaves Sabbath into the very fabric of creation. He weaves it into how we were created as image bearers of God. 6 days of work and a seventh day where we rest. Sabbath is 1 day a week that comes around whether we want it to or not. No matter how we're feeling, it's 1 day a week to remind us that God invites us to find rest and solace in him. Whether you are happy or you are sad, whether you have experienced life and joy or death and disappointment, we find our rest and our delight in our sovereign God who knows us and is with us. Jesus' desire isn't for us to bypass our pain or just to get stuck in and deal with it, but it invites us to go through it and in time come out the other side. This is the death and resurrection pattern laid down by Jesus himself. Delight is not a denial of pain. It's a determination to move through pain courageously, honestly, patiently, holding the hand of the one who suffers with us and move into joy, move into delight. Sabbath is a weekly exploration and realization of true delight. As we lay down and let go of our escapism and our distractions and disruptions that draw us away from intimacy with and dependence on God. It may be as simple as putting your phone down that every time you go to pray, Holy Spirit, no, that's not, you know. But in this, it's difficult at times. Like a drug addict, we are addicted in this modern age to the hyper-connectivity, to over-busyness, to consumption and immediate gratification, to always wanting more, the next thing. Dallas Willard, who I haven't quoted in a little while, he highlights how the devil's main strategy is to make sin look good, to make it look pleasing, to make it look fulfilling. Being reformed after being malformed. Let me say that again. Being reformed after being malformed is never easy, especially if you're just beginning to practice Sabbath. So I need another drink. I used to be a nurse, worked in ICU for about 8 years. And one of the things we used to have, like, people would often come in and after heart operations or something like that, so they'd be sedated, they'd have a ventilator in breathing for them. And a lot of the time, we'd have people who were smokers. And now, as they were in ICU, there was a time where they would produce, it's going to be disgusting, sorry if you're queasy, produce a lot of sputum. And it was one of the most satisfying things about the job. You'd put down a suction and, yeah, lovely. Close your eyes. No. But where you would suction out this acrid, vile, brown, black sputum. And I remember being with one patient and I was doing this and the mother was, she was so worried because she's like, what is happening to my son? Why? Why are his lungs? He probably just needs a cigarette. I kid you not, I remember seeing one person who had a tracheostomy and he was... But the thing was, I had to explain to this mother, is that actually what's happening in this process is his lungs are healing. In this time of rest, of stopping smoking, his lungs were healing. And yet it looked horrible at the time. It was hard. It was difficult. I'm sure if he had been awake, all he would have wanted is a cigarette. His mum wanted a cigarette for him. At times, Sabbath, I believe, can feel like detox. Because it is. It's a detox from the world that we live in. And so I just want to say, don't be surprised if initially it kind of hurts a bit. We can be prepared though. And now one of the ways you might want to prepare for something like this I just want to remind you, it's a practice. We are practicing this. It's an exploration. We're exploring through a journey. And maybe what you could do through this process is make a list. An I will list and an I will not list. This is just an example on the screen. Something like, I will sleep. Sleep in. If you've got kids, do it different. I will pray. I will be together with family and friends. I will read. I will celebrate. What I will not do is I will not work around the house. I won't read the news. I won't watch TV or I won't be on my phone. Again, not legalism. This is talking about freedom. Freedom from the things that often control us. And again, you might not be able to enter into all these things. Take your time. This one author, Marva Don, who was recommended to me just this past week, I was reading through it, and she writes, it's called Keeping the Sabbath Holy. And she writes, observing Sabbath gives us the opportunity to be as careful as we can to fill our lives with beauty. With beauty and to share that beauty with the world around us. Something that stood out to me was that she says, be careful. Be careful not to slip into counterfeit delights, into thinking, I just want escapism. I just want to be on my phone. I just want to watch Netflix until 2 a.m. But also, be careful not to slip into the burden of legalism, of adding. Be careful to find beauty. Pastor John Tyson states this. He says, build, and this is so important, with the concept of Sabbath as a practice, as something we journey through. Build at the pace of grace. Build at the pace of grace. God will give us a measure of grace. Be consistent, not overly intense that you will burn out and make you quit. Practicing the way of Jesus is not about stepping into what you cannot sustain. It's a growing, settled conviction that will grow our capacity over time. Start with 1 hour. Good. Then 4, then 12, then 24. Jesus speaks of the kingdom of God in terms of a mustard seed that grows into one of the largest known trees. Don't expect a mustard tree. Start with a mustard seed. I think we so often expect the mustard tree, don't we? I did 1 hour of quiet time. Where's the tree? Start with a mustard seed. Start where you are and grow. That's what this apprenticeship to Jesus is all about. Starting where you are, not starting 10 years in the future. You'll get there in 10 years. Start where you are. But there's a way that I think, and it's one of the reasons we do this on a Sunday and we have home groups and we meet with people. Because I think there's a way that we can help ourselves in this process. And I think it is the way that Sabbath is meant to be done. Sabbath as a shared delight. This is probably actually my greatest personal struggle with Sabbath. I often look at Sabbath through this individualistic lens. My rest, my time. Kids, don't talk to me. I'm resting. I'm worshiping. This is not Sabbath. Sabbath is about true delight, which is about shared delight. Nathan Stuckey, a professor, fantastic. All they have great names. Stuckey, a professor at Princeton Theological Seminary. He says this, there's not a single instance that I can find anywhere in Scripture where God gives Sabbath to an individual. It's always to be in community. It's to the whole of creation. It's to the gathering of God's people. Sabbath, in all its fullness, is an exercise of a community. Now, I just want to be clear, all the introverts in there, this doesn't mean you don't get a alone time. But the Sabbath as a practice of Jesus is always going to be beyond ourselves into how we can love God and love others. As we explore Sabbath as a means of delight within this framework, Sabbath becomes that something that not only brings us delight and joy and rest, but brings other people into delight and joy and rest. And in our family, we have a fortnightly kind of rotation where 1 week we Sabbath with as a whānau, and then the next we Sabbath with another family to finish. We finish our Sabbath with this family in a Sabbath meal together. It's nothing crazy. We have young kids, and so it's not like the big kind of roast and everything. We do fish and chips. We do nachos. Depending on what stage of life you're at, explore. This is what I'm trying to say. Explore. Grow. Explore what it might look for you and yours to Sabbath, to enter into rest and delight. I think at the young adults' lunch today, they're doing, is it like homemade McDonald's or something? Is that, yeah, I'm getting nods. Delightful. Amazing. It's shared delight. It's fun. It's community. It's Macca's. That might have just undone everything I just said. But here, I want to, if you don't believe me, all right, tell me what is more delightful. All right, kids, come join me. I'll clean. Whoever's on the cleanup crew. All right, slow. Here you go. Now, there's rules. Don't pop them until I say, and aim them out at those faces, not at our faces. All right, just hold up. Oh, I'm going to show you.
I know how to do this.
All right, try and line up so you're not behind anyone. Line up so you're not behind anyone. All right, no, don't aim it at anyone's faces. I was just joking. We're going to aim it up. Who needs one? There you go, Lucy. I'm going to tell you very soon, sweetie. All right, who needs one? Here we go. Not faces. Hey guys, you can line up a bit more along that way if you're behind people.
I have a pink one.
A pink one. Oh, hang on, sweetie. I can give you a purpley one. There you go. All right. There you go. Oh, I haven't got any. We'll just go with this packet, hey? There you go. All right, has everyone got one? Line up, maybe even line up kind of down here, down the steps. Make sure you're not behind anyone. Make sure you're not behind anyone, especially if you're smaller. All right, do you want to? Here, let's move this table. Let me move this table. Hey, bench. Watch out, mate. All right, Malachi, no spaces. You come down here, buddy. You can jump on that step there. All right. Everyone got one? Okay, what we're going to do. So pull your little bit of string down. Don't pull it. Like, just release it. Just gentle. All right, has everyone got a hold? All right, we're going to aim it up. Okay, when I count three, so not yet. I'm going to say one, two, three, and we'll pop. Okay. Are you ready? So on three. Went after three? No. On three. Okay, you ready? Aiming up. Hold it up. One, two, three. Oh.
It's special.
Yeah, you didn't pull it hard enough.
Well, you didn't pull it hard enough. You gotta give it a pull. Give it a pull. Pull, pull. Hey! All right, kids, thank you. No. Do you want to take this back to your mum? You take that to your mum? Which one was more delightful? I mean, we need to work on your kids understanding what now means, and also three. So, but that's all right. I don't know about you, but there's been times where I've been and at a, oh, that's, oh, I think, yeah, cleaning up, great. Where I've stared out over mountain scenes and beautiful valleys, and I've traveled through this country and seen amazing, amazing things. And yet it has been most delightful when I've been with people, when I've shared in that delight. I don't know about you, but I didn't find that overly delightful, but seeing these kids and the excitement, that is shared delight. Sabbath is a time of stopping, resting, and delighting. As we realign our misaligned understanding of God and how He sees us, as we remove the counterfeit delights from our life, your phone, your Netflix, whatever it is that draws you away from people and leads you into escapism, that is not real delight, that is counterfeit delight. As we share in delight in community that is restorative and supportive, as we practice Sabbath as a way of weekly life, an invitation one day a week to trust in the supremacy and all-sufficiency of Christ, where we consent to spending time in the presence of the Holy Spirit, where He can do the heavy lifting, where He brings us into rest, where He brings delight that is transformative. Space without distraction, space where we can be open to His presence and His healing. I'm going to invite the band up. But this week, will you detox? You may have been umming and ahhing over the last few weeks and heard about Sabbath as something that is not achievable to you because you've seen it through the lens of someone else. Will you explore what Sabbath looks like for you and yours? Would you be honest with yourself, though? In that space, we're honest with yourself and explore the purpose for the purpose of discovery. For just 1 or 2 hours, if 24 is too many, what are the counterfeit delights that you have settled for? Make a list, if it helps. I'm sure right now there's 1 or 2 in your mind. What are the things you need to detox from to truly discover delight? So that you can experience Sabbath as what Jesus revealed it to be, a time of healing, a time of life, a time of salvation, a time of delight. Let's worship.